Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, those that are here, those that are watching. Happy Father's Day to you. We pray that the blessings of the Lord will continue to be upon your life, not just today only, but for the rest of your life. God is so mighty and so wonderful that in the midst of whatever it is we're dealing with, He has a way of keeping us in the midst to get us through. Amen.
Yes, He does.
Because lately it definitely has become all about the press. If you can't press, then you end up with a bunch of mess. Because it's just fighting a good fight of faith. Amen. We're not going to be long this morning. That old Greg got it timed. Glad he's going to the restroom. Amen. Amen. Anyway, open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We're going to look at a couple of fathers this morning.
Amen.
Amen. When we look at Abraham, we always think he's the father of faith. He wasn't, but he's a symbol. Like the father of faith. We know our Father, Heavenly Father, is the father of faith.
Amen. Amen.
Because He is the only one that is always faithful.
Amen.
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 So that makes Him the father of faith.
Amen.
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 Abraham was working in good order, but he wasn't the father of faith. And Genesis, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse, it reads, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now, some of this stuff gets a little confusing, Brother Amy, because it says that Abraham, it says he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. They're together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, Father, and he said, Here am I. That's like me and Pastor Keys walking together, and I say, Pastor Keys, where are you?
Yeah.
All the time, he right here.
Uh-huh.
We're walking together.
Uh-huh.
So I got a little dumbfounded when Isaac asked his father, where was he? But if you look at it deeply, if you research the words, you find out that what he was asking, he says, since you're going to do all this, I hope you got faith. And you notice that Abraham's answer was, Here am I. That sounded like something that was going on with Moses in the burning bush. Speaking the words of God, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I've been asking the same question. You got the fire in your hand. You got the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Yeah, he had the knife too, didn't he? He had a lot of stuff. Fire, knife. You know, because it symbolized something. The wood symbolizes the humanity. The knife symbolizes the cutting away. And the fire symbolizes the burning. Thank you, dear. I'm going to let you preach this message. You're doing pretty good over there. The purification of ourselves. So when you get the fire, the purification, then you get the wood, which speaks of the purification of the humanity. Right. And then when you get the knife, talking about the cutting away, which are the fire, the knife, and the what?
Wood.
The wood. That's three things. We know three things symbolizes the Trinity.
Right.
Amen. And we know that the Bible says, for the word cutteth, sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Amen. So Abraham wasn't just taking him And the respect. I can't be doing that. And the respect that he had. And so Abraham said, my son, God will what? Provide. And I was listening to the testimony. Fathers have a mindset, or should, to provide. You can't all the time provide money and all the good things, but you can provide safety. And you can provide humbleness. Now, my father, when we were growing up, he was a gem. You know, we had so many people in our family. We had our own baseball team. My father would take us to the park and we'd play baseball. And the family there next to us, they had about as many as we did, because my sister ended up marrying one of them. And so we just had our own little game. It was, and you'd look at the field and you'd think it was about 8 families out there, but it was only 2. Now my father, he was fast. He was about little as Rocky. But we could run down the alley and he would cut through the yards and he would jump fences like he was a herder. And I think about that time he was in his 50s. But you know what? It don't stay like that. Things change. Because before long, I was saying Papa got a rolling stone. Because his whole attitude and disposition changed. And he stopped being a father and started being a pop. You know, usually young people call you pop. They tell you they respect you, but you ain't their father. So, as all this was going on, he just kind of got more further and further and further out there. And me and him kind of had fallen out. Big fallen out. Because I love my dad, but you don't put your hands on my mom. Amen. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So we became distant. But for some reason, he found out he had cancer, and God said, you need to make that right. I said, I hadn't did anything. He says, yes, you have. I go, what have I done? He said, in spite of everything, that is your father. And you're supposed to know the Lord. So that should make up the difference. So I found him. And I apologized for everything. It wasn't a month later that he passed away. Can you imagine how I would have felt? Amen. So a lot of times fathers provoke us. The Bible says parents don't provoke your children. They provoke us. But we can't allow it to separate us from what we know is right and what we know is wrong. And here when we look at this story of Abraham and his son, Abraham says God will provide himself a lamb. See, he was letting us know right there that this isn't for me.
Exactly.
Isaiah, you have to understand something. It's not for me. Amen. It is for God. So if it's for God, it's his responsibility to provide a lamb. But we're not going to be lacking in faith because you're the only one here. And I'm about to do you in. So you can't get upset. God will provide. He will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. I like the part where it says he will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they both went to of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on an altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, if you go back to the 9th verse, and they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Remember, he laid the wood in order. Things have to be done decent and in order. So he laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac. But, you know, I really don't think he needed to bind him. But it was important because in the binding part, it shows us that sometimes you have to take authority over your flesh. And you have to bind yourself. Somewhere in the gospel it says, how's that go? If you bind yourself or you bound yourself. I'm trying to see if y'all some scholars out there. Thank you. Thank you, Rev. Somebody over there. Thank you, Rev. Thank you. I was waiting on them back here anyway. You have the ability and the power to bind things. If whatever you bind here, God will bind it there. But you have to take the authority and bind it. So as Abraham binds Isaac, he's taking the authority that God has given him by telling him to sacrifice his son. If he had missed one step of what God has spoke to him, God might have not provided a lamb.
Amen.
When God gives you steps, you say, this Father's Day, we preaching the word. Forget that. When you miss steps that God has given you to take, you lose your binding power.
Come on now.
And usually when you lose your binding power, it's because you've allowed you to interfere with him. And by not doing, it's taking the steps that he has given you to take, which he has given us steps. And we have veered off. We got tired of being tied up, about like I'm tired of being in that brace. Amen. But ain't nothing I can do about it now. Unless God heals me and I don't need the brakes. But I don't need to be trying to help people then, which I have been trying to do. But I love how all the word and the revelation that God has put in just these verses about what Abraham was doing. And Abraham built an altar there. He built an altar. He did a whole lot. He carried the wood, he carried the fire, he carried the knife, and he also carried the rope, because if he didn't have rope with him, how was he going to bind Isaac? And don't talk about the rope. A lot of things the Bible don't talk about, and you have to depend on the revealed knowledge that God gives you because of your study patterns.
Amen.
And God will reveal himself to you.
Amen.
But you have to have an open mind and open spirit to receive what God has. Because a lot of times when God reveals something to you, it ain't going to sound like what you think it should sound. I can only imagine God waking Abraham up and say, Abraham, you're going to sacrifice Isaac today. Man, you better go. Sacrifice my son, my only son. And you done already told me that he was one part of the seed that you had promised me.
Yeah.
And God said, didn't answer. Because he had already what? Spoken. God already has spoken to us, and we think because he's spoken that he's going to keep talking. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Remember, a hand speaks of works. Out of his own works, Abraham was getting ready to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, I know this one ain't included. Abraham, and he said, what? Here am I. I love it how they already know where they at. And they had to know to ask him, where are you? Because they're expecting to hear something that will exalt who God is. And Abraham said, here I am. I'm right here. I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm not no further to the left or the right or front or back, but I'm here where you have stationed me with your word. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, not to do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou what?
Fearest
God. You know what the world is lacking today? The fear of God. We lack the fear of God. And you say, well, how can you tell? Because people have no reverence for the things of God. And if you don't have no reverence for the things of God, you don't have reverence for people. And if you don't have reverence for people, then you're not where you need to be in God.
Amen.
I'm not just talking about church people. I'm talking about all people. Because, my goodness, Sister Reverend Sharp, a lot of us are nuttier than them folks out there. That's why we're in here. They just don't know any better yet. Man, I'm sorry. Anyway, so here's Abraham. The angel said, don't do it. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for thou knowest that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, when it talks about the angel of the Lord, he says, you have not withheld it from me. So you have to question, ask yourself, what angel is this that's talking? We know that man is higher than an angel. So it has to be somebody of authority. And the man has said, you have not withheld him from me. And when he talks about the me part, it's talking about Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus said, you haven't withheld him from me.
Yep.
Why? Because what was happening here was a type shadow of Jesus going and dying on the cross. Isaac and Abraham was a type shadow.
Wow.
Abraham represents the Father,
Isaac
represents the Son.
Come on now.
So in the process of going through all this, God was letting him know, this is a symbol of what is to come. And because of that, it was going to be through Abraham's seed that Christ would come. So guess what? The symbol or the typology catches up with reality.
Amen.
And once it caught up with reality, it was going to take place. I like when it caught up with reality, because that meant now we was about to be in the real deal, Holyfield, and we was about to get delivered.
Amen.
And I know I need to be delivered.
No,
I still need to be delivered.
Yes.
That's why I ask God to forgive me every day.
Amen.
Abraham said, here my Lord, I'm here. Because I want you to know that I have a clean heart and nothing but respect unto you. And that's what the angel says. Thou hast seen that y'all fearest God, or you reverence God. That don't mean you crawling around on your hands and knees because you scared of God. But you reverence him in praise and in worship and in thanksgiving and supplication. That's part of our, and so Abraham was a man of faith. He wasn't the God of faith, but he was a man of faith. Just like you can be a woman of faith or a man of faith. We have that ability and that authority in our lives to take authority over our lives. Sometimes you have to make moves that you don't want to make because it becomes uncomfortable. I've had to make a lot of uncomfortable moves.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to go, believe it or not, we're almost done. I didn't hear nothing from the peanut gallery. I'm not talking about you, Red. I tell you what, this arm getting on my nerves. You don't miss it till you ain't got it. You'd be amazed. Go to the book of Mark. We're going to go from faith. I had another word for it, but I don't remember. Did you write it down? Thank you. Oh, I got it.
From
visionary. Yeah, I thought I did. God the Father was a visionary. A visionary? When he got, no, it was an visionary because he had already envisioned or prophesy or proclaim in the first chapter of Genesis that all this was going to take place. I call that an envisionary. We need to have a vision because without a vision the people don't have a vision anymore. All they have is wants or needs. I need this, I want that. We don't envision ourselves being transformed by the renewing of our minds or getting the authority and the power over what we were and become who we are now.
Come on, Pastor.
We need to be an envision. We need to be a visionary so we can see these things. And envisionary means you create your vision. You create your vision by standing on this word. In spite of your circumstances or your situations, you create the vision that you need to see in God. I keep prophesying and speaking to my vision that I know that God promised me years back. I'm still speaking to it. I'm still proclaiming it. And I'm still claiming it. Sometimes it don't manifest itself the way we want to or when we want it to, but if we hold fast to the profession of our faith, it will materialize.
Amen.
You look at these men in the Bible. Moses didn't become what he was supposed to be until he was, what, 80 years old? Abraham was how old? He should have been somewhere sat himself down. But what was he doing? He was infusing the vision that he had created after God had spoke a living word to him. Was that he was going to be the father of many nations. Ain't that amazing? All the nations that branched off of that one seed. Because there was a vision. It was God's proclamation, which became Abraham's vision, which he envisioned, which he created by obeying God. A lot of stuff he didn't obey God. God told him to get out of his country and don't take cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, and he took Lot. Guess what it did? It cost him too. When you got people in your vision that ain't supposed to be there, they gonna cost you. So God has put us in the power play position so that we can ratify or dictate who's gonna be in our vision and who's not.
Amen.
Come on,
man. Yeah. Amen.
Look at what's going on here. Now I like to mark the first chapter, the ninth verse. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth, Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open. I was interested in the fact that John, who didn't think he was supposed to do what he did, Jesus told him, he was telling, man, this is what you've been born for. This is what you've been born for. You notice God never told John you would baptize Jesus. Jesus just showed up on the scene.
Right.
And told him you was going to baptize him. And John disputed it. You need to be baptizing me. And Jesus said, for you to be a man of God, you ought to know better. You going to baptize me today. Because if you don't baptize me, the vision that started in the garden, it's never going to transform into reality. So he did just that. He baptized Jesus, which did what? It made the vision create the beginning of his walk. When he come up out of the water, it says the heavens opened up to him. Now see, we assume that when it talks about heavens, we look up to the sky and said that heaven opened up to him, but it's not talking about that type of heaven. It's talking about the type of heaven where everything around him became real. He could see into folks' hearts, into their lives, into their spirits. He could see what was taking place. He could see what the creature was supposed to do. He could see what the fish was supposed to do. He could see what the winds were going to do. It opened up, the heavens opened up to him, and he saw everything that was transpiring before him. That's almost like being able to look through the wall and see the garage. That's when he was able to see things that he wasn't able to see before the heavens opened up to him. And you notice it says heavens. It doesn't say heaven. It's more than one. Because it's breaking down and letting us know that it's not just the sky, but it's talking about everything that was created in the beginning. He now can see everything. And realize that he was giving his life not just for us, like we always preach, but he was giving his life for the creature, for the fowl of the air, for the fish of the sea, because they are all waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
Not just people that call themselves sons, but the reality of a son of God who was like the Jesus who come up out of the water and saw everything open up to him. But we can come to a place in God where things open up to us and we see them before they transpire.
Amen.
Can you imagine how wonderful it would be if you were going down the street and you saw the accident before you got there?
Right.
Or you was in a pinch for money and you saw the money coming into your hands before you actually received it. How excited would you be about that?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what it would eliminate? Worry. And doubt.
Amen.
Discouragement. Them things would be eliminated.
Right.
And then there came a voice from heaven. There came a voice from heaven. Notice it goes from heavens, plural, to heaven.
Right.
Now they want you to know that it ain't the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, or the creeping thing that's talking to him, but it is the Father.
Yeah.
A voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved son." My son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And what he said was, because you've done what you did, I have found delight in you. That's scripture. I have found delight in you. I would love for the heavens to open up to me and God said, "You are my beloved son. I have found delight in you." Guess what? I'm waiting on it, but he's been doing it all the time.
Amen. Amen.
Every time God opens the door, or he closes the door, that I find out that's protecting me. Or he touches me in my mind to give me peace where there is no peace. Or he gives me joy where there is no joy, because he knows if you're happy, you have strength to get through whatever it is you're dealing with. You can't make it without joy, because if you don't have joy, then you have discouragement. And you're going to spend the rest of your time beating up on yourself till you enter into the realm of God and produce some joy.
Amen. Amen.
He said, "I am delighted in you." God is delighted in us. You know why? Because we're here this morning.
Amen.
Some people just rolled over. Some people got up and went to McDonald's and decided they was too full to come to church. Folks do different things that they allow to keep them out of the house of God.
Amen.
We delight God when we press our way in.
Amen.
People don't understand how important it is that we come together
as a body.
That's right.
Come on now.
We don't have to say a word to each other, but we can be bound to one another.
Amen.
As Abraham bound Isaac, God wants us to be bound. So in all this, and it says after that happened, immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. That means that after all these great things just happened to him, here the same Spirit that blessed him is now sending him into trouble. But guess what? After everything else he's been through in the beginning, he don't handle the wilderness like it's a pasture. But guess what he fought it with? The Word. You got to fight things with the Word. You have to realize that your vision has got to produce strength, joy, and faith. And that are all them things, guess what else will come for? The love of God. We are in trying days, troubling times. But the Bible says we will be living in perilous times. Everybody's still waiting on the perils, but we're already in them. We've been in them for a while. But, you know, the good thing about it is, if we abide in him and he abides in us, we don't see the peril. All we see is the blessings of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for. You can turn the air off. It's all. Thank you. I'm sick of looking at Lorraine over there. I can't see you, Mama, but I see Lorraine. She about to take the baby's blanket. Don't get her started. Brother Harris ain't talking about taking your blanket. I ain't gonna tell you what, because I don't want you to get up and go smack him or nothing. Try to take your blanket. But see, and you know what? It's funny we laughing about blankets, but that's what God does for us. He blankets us. When he opens up the heaven, we see everything. We're blanketed. Amen. We don't have to be like Linus. He had bugs flying around his blanket. God's going to blanket us with a clean blanket. Purity. So thank God for it. So on this Father's Day, we need to recognize our Father.
Amen.
After a while, Dad can only do so much. But Jesus, nothing is impossible. And we got some impossible stuff going on as we see it with our eyes, but we know that God is greater than our circumstance.
Amen.
He's greater than our circumstance. So we have to believe and trust in God. Amen. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your manifold blessings. Some of them I see, some of them I don't see. Some of them I sense, some of them I don't sense. Some of them I understand, most of them I don't. But I'm going to trust you anyway, because you are my Father. And in spite of me, that don't ever change. Fathers in the earth sometimes disown their children. God will never disown us. In spite of our screw-ups and our mess-ups. Thank you, Jesus. Perfect example. Amen. So here we have Abraham, the man of faith, and we have Father God, the visionary. I thank God for it. Because if you don't have vision, you're not going to have faith. And you can't have a vision without faith. They go hand in hand. So whatever it is you're going through this morning, realize that God's got you. God has got you. And you have to remind yourself of the promises that he promised you. Because if you don't, you just run in the wilderness along with giraffe and everything else. The only thing you envision is get to that next tree so that you can feed. I'm tired of feeding. I'm tired of being ready to receive. And I know I got to be in the right place in order to get what I need from God. He just ain't going to bless you any place. Well, if that was the case, wouldn't nobody be serving God? But if you can get in that arena or that place where God wants you, then you can expect God. You're supposed to be burning. Huh? I thought I did. Is it him out there? It's him? Okay. It smelled electrical to me. I've burned up enough stuff. I know electrical fires. That's for Andy. I burned up almost what? $25,000 worth of lights or more than that, wasn't it? They just went poof. All the TV lights over there at the same time, they went, I hit that white, it went poof. I was like, oh Lord, Andy gonna kill me. he took it pretty good though. I blew up the box and the lights. That one of the days I was snorting that stuff I wasn't supposed to be. Amen. But I thank God for you all this morning, and we just believe God. And we're gonna enjoy ourselves when we come to the house of God. Because we don't know what each one of us has been through all week.
That's right.
Amen. If you gotta be a sour puss at work, if you can't come be a sour puss in church, what good is church?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friend, I used to come to church to escape some of the mess I was dealing with. I didn't come to run into the same stuff. Amen. But I thank God that He has opened up the windows and the window that we can have whatsoever we say.